Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Well, I'll tell you what. It wouldn't be Easter Sunday if I didn't tell a little bit of a joke this morning, right? I got a special Easter joke for you this morning. A little boy and his mother were shopping for Easter candies and decorations, and they ran into their minister at the store. And from a distance of 6 feet, they begin a conversation. Mom and the Reverend exchanged a little chit-chat. Then the Reverend looked at little Johnny and said, "So what are you up to today?" Oh, yeah, Johnny's back, by the way. And Johnny said, "We're getting ready for Easter." And seeing an opportunity, the Reverend replied, "Oh, really? Well, what is Easter anyway? Do you know what happened on Easter?" Well, little Johnny looked at the Reverend a little bit offended, and he said, "Of course I know what Easter is. It's when Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he rode on a donkey, and they waved palms at him." "Well, that's right," said the preacher. "Go on." "And he got arrested and was beat up and yelled at, and then they nailed him to a cross, and then he died." "Very good, Johnny. What happened next?" "Well, then they put him in a tomb, and they put a big rock out in front of it. But 3 days later, he came back to life and got out of there." "Johnny, that's great," said the preacher. "I'm so glad to know that the Sunday school program has worked so well." "But that's not all," said Johnny. "Oh," said the Reverend. "What else?" "Well, when the rock got rolled back, he stepped out, looked around, and if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter." Oh, yeah. Come on. That was good. Well, this morning, I want to continue. We've been going through the book of Luke and studying that together. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you got here a little bit late, you can just tune in to 89.1 on your radio and you should be able to listen right through the speakers in your car. If you want to roll up those windows, I know it is cold outside. Believe me, I know. But a few years ago, I got to visit a place that they now call the Garden Tomb. And a lot of people feel that this is the place where Jesus was actually buried. Now, they think so because of a number of different reasons. It met all the criteria, including that it was outside the city walls, and that it fit a lot of the other descriptions that were in the Bible. It says that Peter had to stoop to get in the tomb. The entrance to this tomb, you would have definitely had to stoop to get into. And there were 2 separate rooms, just like it described in the Bible. But the most important thing, the most important qualifier, was that there are no human remains in this tomb. It was empty when they excavated it. And it very well could have been the place where Jesus spent 3 days and then walked out on Easter Sunday. If you have a Bible and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read through verses 1 through 12. Here's what it says. "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went out to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Now, I want you to remember that phrase because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the 3rd day, rise.' And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. And now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping in, he saw linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Now, I want to focus on this one sentence that the angels told the women as they came to Jesus' tomb. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Now, here's the question that I want to ask you this morning. When people are looking at you, where do they find you? Where do they find you? Is your life among the living or is it among the dead? I want to share three things this morning about living people and dead people and the difference between them. And some of these might seem obvious to you, but they reveal something about who we really are. They reveal whether we are really part of the kingdom of God, whether Jesus' love is inside of us, whether he's doing something through us, whether he's moving in our life. And the first difference that I want to share this morning is that dead people stink and living people smell good. Can I tell you something? When people interact with you, what do you smell like? I'm not talking about the perfume that you're wearing today or the cologne that you're wearing today. I'm not talking even about whether or not you showered this morning. When they talk to you, are they getting a genuine sense of who you really are? Are they seeing a new creation in Christ Jesus? Or are they seeing pessimism, negativity, whining, complaining, hypocrisy, a critical spirit? Maybe another way to ask this question is, when people get done talking to you, how do they feel? Do you drain the life out of them or do you breathe life into them? I know a lot of Christians that I try to keep from my friends who aren't Christians yet, because I don't want them to think that's what happens when you ask Jesus into your heart. When Christ comes in, he puts his spirit inside of you. That should be a game changer for us. That should change the way that we interact with other people. Christians should be irresistible just like Jesus was. People followed Jesus wherever he went. There was a crowd with him all the time. He couldn't escape them. Not everyone believed in him. Not everyone agreed with what he said. In fact, some people wanted to kill him, but they couldn't stay away from him. And people should want to be around us too. Here's how Paul described it in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16. He said, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life." The question that we need to ask this morning is, are you a representation of the aroma of Christ? Do you represent what he smells like? Second thing I want to point out this morning is that dead people are still, but living people are active. I remember as a kid visiting a family friend of ours who was in a car accident. He hit a moose with his car, and the moose flipped up on top of the roof of his car and crushed it. And he was paralyzed from the waist down, had limited mobility with his arms. And I remember visiting him in the hospital as a pretty young child. And the one thing that I noticed that I asked my parents about after we left, I said, why are Corey's legs so skinny? And they said, well, he hasn't been able to use them for quite some time now because he's paralyzed. And muscle atrophies when it's not being used. You know, the same thing can happen to us as believers. When we stand still in our faith, when we fail to move in the way that God has called us to move, when we fail to do what God has called us to do, then our muscles, our spiritual muscles, begin to atrophy. Living people are active. They're moving. And if you don't move and if you don't do anything active, you're not going to stay living for very long. Right? A healthy person is an active person, and a healthy Christian is an active Christian. The more you sit around, the more you stand still, the longer you give the devil the opportunity to manipulate you, to lie to you, to deceive you, and to bring you down. Living people are always looking for a way to move forward, to accomplish whatever God has put in their path. They would rather make the effort, like setting up church outside in a parking lot in the middle of a blizzard. They would rather do that than get away with the minimum. Right? Dead people are content to sit back and watch the world go by. They're trying to hold on. They're trying to survive. But living people are actively pursuing what God has for them. The last thing that I want to share with you this morning is that dead people are hopeless, but living people are full of hope. We just sang that song this morning, Living Hope. And I can't think of a better picture of what happens when Christ comes inside of us. When he comes in and changes our heart, it's more than just something that you say a prayer or go to church on a regular basis now. It's not just calling yourself a Christian. It's that he comes inside of you and changes you and makes you a new creation. When you and the people that you love are discussing problems, are you one of the ones bringing the problem or the solution? Listen, I don't mean to say that Christians never have problems, but we should have some answers too. We have his spirit inside of us. And what I hear Christians doing too often, when they hear about a situation that a friend or a family member is going through, they respond with, oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you about my pain. So not only are we telling them that we're as hopeless as they are, but we're failing to do what God has called us to do in giving them the answer and giving them the hope. In fact, the Bible tells us to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in you. You have hope inside of you. So I want you to try this out sometime. It's a phrase that's five words long. You can memorize it this morning. It's this simple little phrase. Practice it right now. Can I pray for you? You know, we have access to our Heavenly Father all the time. We have the answer to any problem. He is our solution. And maybe one of the most basic things that we can do is pray. And I'm not talking about saying, hey, I'll pray for you, and then walk away and never do it. I'm saying right in that moment, as they're unloading their problems to you, their pain, their hurt, you can say to them, can I pray for you right now? Can I bring a little bit of Christ's life into you? Over the past 4 weeks, as we've been going through this together, I've never seen so many people that are fearful and frustrated and upset. And can I tell you something? Those feelings are very valid. They're very real. But the question is, how will you respond to this situation? Because how you respond says everything about who you are, about whether the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. I want to read this verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So where will they find you? Among the living or among the dead?